Okay, we are holding by Erev Shabbos Parshas Kisetze. Let me just make a scheduling note, which is that I think until the clock changes, Fishel isn't sponsoring. So tonight, unless anyone wants to step up, it's on the shul. And certainly in future weeks, if people can take turns sponsoring, at least to get us to Fishel, that would be very much appreciated. Kisetze has a number of different interesting mitzvos, and one which always intrigued me and probably needs more work than we'll have time to give it this evening in one shir, comes up in Perachav Beis. Right in the beginning of the Sheni Aliyah, where the Torah tells us, Lo yiyech ligever al isha, the, how do you want to translate kli here, the garb, the clothing of a man should not be on or worn by a woman. Lo yilbash gever simlas isha. Man shouldn't wear the clothing, shirt, beged of a woman. Ki tovas Hashem elokecha al kolos eilav. For either one of these is considered to be an abomination, a toeva. Rashi tells us something very important based on the Sifrei. You'll see in a moment is based on a machlokas in the Gemara. Rashi says, "Lo asra Torah el levush hamevi lidei toeva." Why does the pasuk end with the reference to the fact that all of these are toavas Hashem? So says Rashi, this is a kind of a control. This is a defining element of the mitzvah. So, in light of this, I wanted to ask two questions, and really probably a third, but one question was based on an article that I had seen, how long ago? Not long ago. It was less than a year ago, and it was, I think, in the New York Jewish Week, about Rabbi Mendel Jacobs, who is the only Scottish-born rabbi currently living in Scotland. And he apparently designed a type of kilt. From a Yidden. And apparently he went through all sorts of people, and he went through all sorts of histories, and certain Jewish colors were woven in, and apparently he says it's in great demand. I have yet to see it yet in Baltimore, but you never know. And he tells at the end, to answer any halakhic inquiries, yes, the kilt are kosher. They don't violate the prohibition of men wearing clothing made for women. And by the way, they don't have shatnas either. So that's question number one. Is it really true? Is a man allowed to wear a kilt? After all, that would be l'chora simlas isha. And the other question I'd like to ask, since we want to give equal time, and the pasuk did, so should we, what about for women? What would be a violation of this for women? So there's a number of examples. I actually want to discuss two. One is an issue of women wearing pants. Is that a violation of Kli Gever? And number two is specifically, what about a talus? Is a woman wearing a talus a violation of Kli Gever? And in honor of Eli Lasson, who can't be here tonight, he wanted me to tell a story, which you all know, probably are familiar with, which was, I don't know, at some point maybe in the 70s, Mistama. A woman came to our salvation in Boston and said she was just chalashing, she wanted to wear tzitzis. She wanted to wear a talus. So he said, all right, let's give it a try. And I think the story goes that he gave her a beged without any tzitzios on it, just a four-corner garment. But it looked, I guess, maybe it had black and white stripes. And how she came back a week later and she was raving about the spiritual experience of wearing the beged, at which point he informed her that it was a complete nothing. There was no tzitzis on it. And obviously you have other things in mind, other intentions. So there's a lot of commentary that could be said about that story. But one question is, why was it even mutzah for him to have her put it on? Shouldn't that be a violation of Kli Gever? So these are the questions that, as best we can, I want to address. And we'll try to discuss some others, even perhaps less pressing. Although I have to say, since I got into the rabbinate, and especially in the last year and a half or 2 years, one of the contemporary issues that's discussed, classic issues that's discussed, which has become very relevant, who wants to guess? No, we don't have that so much. At least not as a shayla. I mean, no. What would be an example of Simlas Isha, which might be a challenge for me in the last 2 years. The rabbinate has been known, right, what do we say in the Pesach Seder? Harayani Kiven Shivim Shana. I don't think I had it. Go to the videotape. I don't think I had any white hair 5 years ago. Just ask my daughter. I have plenty now. She sits on top of me looking and picking, and she's very upset, even more upset than my mother at this development. So, you know, one of the advantages of being a rabbi is that there's an upside to turning white, which may not be in other lines of work. But the question, which is seriously asked by Poskim, going back to Sholem Eishiv and others, which is a man allowed to dye his hair if he's either embarrassed by it or he feels like... No. Did you when you were rough?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. What was I going to say? Either because the person's embarrassed. You know, I don't know if there's a name of a condition, but I've seen it a few times, including with someone in particular recently, of a young man who on the back of his head, like right here, there's just a big patch of white hair. I mean, he was 20. The rest of his hair was dark brown. So that particular person now is older, is more calmer about it. But when he was younger, he was very embarrassed, and he used to dye it. So you have one issue of busha, and you have another issue if someone looks older than they really are. They might suffer job discrimination. They can't get a job. So are you, that's where Moshe was asked this shayla, are you allowed to dye your hair in order that you should be able to get a job? So these are some of the shaylas that we would like to discuss this evening. The sifrei on the pasuk, which is what Rashi was quoting from, and it really is part of a larger discussion in Masechta Nazir. This is in Masechta Nazir over the course of two amudim, Nun Ches Amud Beis and Nun Tes Amud Aleph. And there seems to be a machlokos within the Tanakama and Rabbi Lozer Ben Yaakov and how to define the pasuk. The Tanakama basically says that it seems like, and this is what Rashi was alluding to, that there's only one defining geder, and that is toeva. Anything that's being done for the purpose of toeva, the lashon of the Tanakama is, why would anyone want to dress up like a woman? So you could sneak into the girl's locker room. So you could do all sorts of pritzos. So that will be effective. So then that would be okay. And I was always thinking in light of that, you know, something like Yentl. So she wanted to look like a man. She wanted to blend in, but not for pritzos. She wanted to learn Torah. So according to the Tanakama, that would be mutter. So the Tanakama is all based thing, and that's what the Rashi was alluding to, the Shitas of the Tanakama. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov is a little bit harder to pin down. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov introduces a whole other topic, which if it was an Israeli crowd, I'd be more inclined to speak about, and that's the issue of women carrying guns, which is also discussed. Rabbi Moshe has a tshuva, Rabbi Yosef has a tshuva. And that is the question. So this is brought up by Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, and he seems to disagree and says, no, why is a woman not allowed to carry a gun? Because of, it's considered simlas ish. Kli gever, I should say. So, the implication of the Gemara is that there's a machlokas, and lechora, it's got nothing to do with toeva or pritzus, why she's carrying a gun. Unless you say it's to sneak into the army. But again, she's not going to look like a man just because she's carrying a gun. So,
isn't there a separate issue?
Although we should probably ask what maybe our next vice president about the halachas of this. She knows better than all of us put together, apparently, what to do with a gun. Yeah.
Isn't there a separate issue of Kli Mochama with regard to women? Or is that...
I don't think so. Okay. Not that I know of. This is it. It's this Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, Kli Zayin. The Gemara says, Eshe Darko Lichbosh, the woman is not Derech Lichbosh, but that's not an Isser as far as I know. The Isser is the Kli Zayin, potentially. And then I'm not even talking about general issues of pritzos or other things that people, you know, machane kadosh is a challenge, obviously, in an army context.
Aren't they allowed to carry their chalice?
What's it?
They're allowed to carry
their chalice. Who?
Let's say
okay, we're talking about women in the issue of Kli Gever, yeah?
But isn't
it
also they're allowed to carry?
So that's the contemporary poskim speak about that also, of course. The question is, there are people who walk around Israel, trust me, even though there may not be an obvious or apparent an immediate danger. I'll tell you, one of the years, the last time, other than a shul mission, but before we moved to Baltimore, my wife and I, it was before Purim, we went, it was the first time as a couple we had gone to Israel together, and at the time we only had one relative in Israel, it was cousins who lived in Neve Daniel, which is, if you're familiar with the Gush, it's right above Efrat. It's become a very, very popular place for Americans, and it's a very nice place. If you ever go there or you move there, my wife's cousin is the dentist there, Jeffrey Port. So in order to get everyone to be okay with us going, we said we weren't just going to take a bus, even though paradoxically the bus would have been Morgan, would have been bulletproof, but he had to pick us up. And my wife felt better that way. Okay. Anyway, when he picks us up, he lets us know that he's carrying his gun. He's a dentist. Said he owns a gun, was already a chiddush. But why was he carrying the gun? He tried to hide it from us for a while, and then he told us it was actually a very famous incident at the big supermarket in Efrat, where everyone in that area shops. There had been an Arab worker, nice shalom to a guy for years, and somebody was literally buying gefilte fish on an Arab Shabbos, and noticed, even though it's a hot day in Ar Yehuda, this guy's wearing a winter coat. And sure enough, he was about to blow himself up, and this guy noticed it. Thank God the gefilte fish wasn't as attractive. He was able to tear himself away and look over there. He saw the guy and he shot him and he killed him. That Shabbos, I don't know if there was any reason to be any more fearful that Shabbos than the other day of the year. I walked in the show Friday night and I was the only person without a gun. Only person. So people carry guns for all sorts of, and I'm not saying it was wrong. I'm not their posek, and even if I was, maybe I would say it's mutter. I'm just saying people, that's not always, you know, people doing shmirah that are carrying guns. There are definitely heterim for it, even for women too, not just on Shabbos. You're right. But anyway, that's the issue. So you're right, in terms of the Lashon HaPasuk, but it's clear from already the Tanaim, let alone one of the examples that the Gemara discusses is men shaving body hair. It's an example that's quoted in the Gemara. It's a debate whether that's part of the Raisa, the Rabbanon, but if you're doing it just for aesthetic purposes, it seems like it's an Isser, it's quoted in the Gemara. So it's clearly beyond just Levisha. The Taz is a very famous Taz on this topic. The issue here is mainly in Siman Kuf Pei Beis in Yoredeya. Yes, 182. And the Taz quotes from the Shver, he quotes from the Bach. And it's this Yisod of the Taz and the Bach, which is to some extent debated, but to the extent that it's accepted, it's like a defining and very, very significant Shita being Magdir the Machlokas. So first of all, the Bach is already going back actually to a Smag. And they want to say that really, on the one hand, we paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, but that even Rav Elazar ben Yaakov accepts the issue of Toeva. He was broadening it to say that anything that is considered to be noi or kishut, something that is a dormant for a woman, let's say, in some very feminine kind of a way, so that would be usher even without the Toeva issue. But everyone agrees that the issue really, really is Toeva. And that if there is an intent for promiscuity, so then you have a major problem. However, they paskin. Let's say a person is going to wear some, I don't exactly know what Begad had in mind, but they're still talking about a case where they're wearing it for cold, temperature. Maybe a lady's fur coat or something. I'm not really sure. But the specific issue was, what if the motivation is not, it's not something that's particularly feminine, like jewelry. And it's not... and it's not being done for priestess, on the contrary, it's being done to keep warm. So there, the Taz and the Bach say that this is mutter. And Agav, this our Rashi that we started with in the pasuk, the Rashi seems to be indicative of this understanding. I guess maybe okay. The Shulchan Aruch, actually, this is one of the few makaros on this topic in a different place. We'll see another one shortly also. But the Shulchan Aruch, earlier in Yoredeya, in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, discusses a different issue. What about a man looking in a mirror? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that, generally speaking, it's also for a man to look into a mirror, because that's known as Tikune Isha. That's like a kishut, that's a particularly feminine adornment. But then the Shulchan Aruch continues and says, but if it's being done for another motive, let's say, for example, you need to shave. So how are you going to know where to shave? You have to look in the mirror. Or other posts can say, what about in a time and place where that's what it's done? Men look as much as women. It's not a feminine issue of kishut. So then, in both cases, it's considered mutter. And the Taz, this is a raya the posts can bring again for this yisod of the Taz and the Bach, that we apply this to a certain extent with common sense, and the common sense definition being whether there is a potential for preachers to have. So our poskim, as we're going to see, who debate it, but the school of thought of the Taz and those poskim who support it do assume that, given the definition of Toeva, which is the animating factor, intent as well as time and place and culture will be absolutely relevant. Someone who may argue on this is the Rambam. The Rambam discusses this halachos in Perek Yud Beis Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and there he paskins straight like this Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and unlike the Bach, the Taz was from the Bach, whose Bach is from the Smag, it's not necessarily clear that he assumes that really everything is really based on the Tanakhama's Teweva. His Lashon is much simpler, so to speak, and straightforward, and it could be that he really means even if it's not necessarily for Teweva. One thing's for sure, the Rambam never says it's an issue of intention. In other words, certain things by definition are kishut, which may be a problem no matter what. The Taz was saying that even things which aren't, on the one hand, could be usher, but in the end of the day, it all goes back to intent. The Rambam never mentions intent, and some poskim point out that this may be the Rambam l'shitaso in the sense of the Tamei HaMitzvos. If you look in both Sefer HaMitzvos and in the Mor Nevuchim, and the Sefer HaChinuch mirrors both, he not only talks about a notion of preachless, but then he also says that there's issues of like black magic and Avodah Zarah. I don't know the historical context, but apparently in some Avodah Zarah or black magic context, there was some issue of cross-dressing. I don't know exactly the historical circumstances, but the Rambam and the Chinuch following him do make that point. So one thing's for sure, though, if that is part of the nature of the Isser, then obviously that's we're beyond Pritzus. I mean, unless you assume that that was like one of these Avodah Zarahs was based on immorality, but there's no indication of that from the Rambam. So that may be, you know, it's not a raya as much as it's just showing the Rambam consistently, he has a slightly different definition.
This machlokes has a big impact on Torah.
We're going to get to it.
But why, when you're defining Torah, you're defining it as getting, you know, trying to be with women if you dress up like
right.
a woman or something like that. But why don't we say tweets inherently dressing up like a woman is tweets? I hear that, you know.
We all have,
us New Yorkers have lived in the village. Even though these people might not be interested in women, it's pretzels, the way they walk around.
Right.
Dressed up as a woman.
Right, but you're probably referring to people who are interested in a different toivo.
Okay, but when you see them on the street, it's pretzels thing.
Maybe I'm just more sensitive.
I don't know.
No, I don't know if it's more sensitive. I think, listen, you could definitely make the argument that it's somewhat tautological, that you're making assumptions and therefore you're interpreting things away. But I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. I think that may even get part of the machlokas. That may be part of what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, that you don't need to have just an issue of intent. There's certain things which are more fundamentally what he's calling kishut.
Right.
And that's probably what you're alluding to, and that may very well be the Shitas HaRambam. He may hold that the Toeva is a broader definition, as I thought you were going, and you may be also there. The Toeva doesn't just mean in a sexual sense. Avodah Zarah is also Toeva. So that may also be, again, part of the Rambam. And that seems to be Machlokas, perhaps Rishonim and Achronim, of understanding this Machlokas and Shitas of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. I saw something very interesting. The Maram Shik, also in two places. The Maram Shik has Chuvas and Yaradeya, and also the Maram Shik has a Sefer on the Minyan HaMitzvos. It actually follows the order of the Sefer HaChinuch, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think it's following the Rambam, if I remember correctly. But it's not a well-known Sefer. It's the Maram Shik on Sefer HaMitzvos. And there, as in the Chuvas, in both places, he feels very strongly that the Pashup Pshat and the Pasuk really supports the Taz and the Bach. That the way he reads the Pasuk, he makes an argument from Diktok and other things, that the Pasuk really focuses on Toeva in the sense of intention, as the way the Taz and the Bach understands it. And a more contemporary tshuva, the Sefer Tshuvas Kinyan Torah, so Rav David Horowitz, who was a Rav in Strasbourg area, that's in the border of France and Schweiz, and he then went to Eretz Yisrael, and he was Rav on the Badat El Haredes. I don't know if he's still alive. So if he is, fine, he should live a long life, and if not, he should be in a look like a Gan Eden. But if he passed away, it was relatively recently. From the Tshuvas Kinyan Torah, he has another raya for this Taz Bach approach, and that is a very interesting discussion in the Gemara Kedushin. The Gemara Kedushin on Daf Lamed Vav in the Nashim Sugyas there discusses the issue of a woman Kohen, a Kohenes, doing the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara quotes a Pasuk that a Bas Kohen or Aishas Kohen, even though she has other rights to being a Kohen, but Al Savoda, she's Pasul. So Tosus there asks Akasha, what do you need a Pasuk for? She's Mechuster Begadim, you can't do the Avoda, Bizman Shebegasan Alayan, Kadushasan Alayan. So Tosus gives a very simple answer. She's wearing the clothes. She put on her husband, her father, her brother's clothes, and she's wearing them. That's the end of the Tosus in the Gemara. So the Kinyan Torah says, what do you mean she wore the clothes? Hey, Begadish, cuddle me there. Elamai, you see from Tosfos, who doesn't even bring up the issue, that when your whole intent is to do something that's just the opposite, it's to do Kedusha, it's to do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, your intention may be wonderful, and from Alf Begadi should be totally mutter, because it's all based on intent, and here there's nothing wrong with the intent. If you told me I wanted to get dressed up like the Kohanim so I could sneak into the Kohen's changing room, that would be a different problem, but that's, you know, we're not assuming that in the Gemara, that's not what Tosfos is talking about. So he says it's also a raya for this very subjective definition of intent. Yeah?
You could say even better, if women are allowed to do the avodah,
not a but yeah, but they're not allowed, we just said the pasuk.
That's what I'm saying, but without that pasuk, what you need the pasuk
for.
So I'm just saying.
I see. Right, okay, that's interesting. Well, we're going to see. Rav Avadi Yosef, slightly ahead of myself, but Rav Avadi Yosef and his tshuva about women wearing pants, he makes the famous comment, which has become infamous in certain Sephardic circles, where it's like became a mitzvah chachila for women to wear pants, and the Altai B'chacham Avadi said it's okay. So he sort of said it. He didn't really mean it. What he said was that he doesn't think there's any issue whatsoever of Chli Geber, because pants, what makes pants a man's clothing anymore? Pants are made for women and men. So that's the same argument that you're making. Right, right, good. But again, there, you're right. You're saying you don't need to come on the issue of intent. But what I'm saying is, but even your point notwithstanding, it's the Taz would still say it doesn't make a difference, even if it's other to wear. Even if it's for them to wear to do a voter or something. So if you said al kedushas beged or something. Maybe you made up something like that. But Al Klegever is there saying it doesn't matter, at least for that, because of intention. The only thing that matters is, are you wearing it to try to blend in, to do something inappropriate? That is the definition. That's at least what they try to claim is indicative in these Rishonim. I mentioned that the Rambam seems to be less flexible. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch there in Siman Kuf Pei Beis quotes straight from the Rambam, and some posts from Medayik that the Shulchan Aruch is also Machmir. But Nafsali, as you just said, the post can point out that the Ramah seems to disagree. The Ramah does not disagree in Yeridaya, but it's a Beferish Ramah in Hilchos Purim, where the Ramah says that it's okay for people to cross-dress in their Purim costumes, because everyone knows it's all being done in the spirit of good, hopefully kosher, Purim fun. We know, as now that we've learned the fear, then it's not so poshut. Who said that that's based on the devil? That Ramah is all based on the issue of intent. Here there's nothing but wonderful intent. But now we know that that's so simple, and therefore we're not surprised that the Mishnah Berurah, that it's Sifkat Lamed, says, who said it's so be mutter? He quotes some post Gemara, not so ayayay about the Ramah's Heter. It seems to me that most people are makel on the Purim costumes. But that's because, in general, most people do accept, even beyond Purim, this definition of the Taz and the Bach. I mentioned at the outset the issue of shaving, of dyeing one's hair or one's beard. So this, obviously now in light of what we're seeing, it comes up as well. One of the earliest tshuvas that I'm aware of is the tshuva of the Sholem Eshev. He was asked about the following question. I don't know what the statistical frequency of such an anomaly is. The way he describes the case, if I read it correctly, is that there was a person whose beard all of a sudden went half white. A little white. When the white is sprinkled, that's distinguished. But when the white is all on one side, even for a rabbi, that might get a little bit embarrassing. So they asked the Sholem Eshev, what do I do? Is a mutter to dye the other half? So it's interesting. Dyeing hair on a beard, Sholem Eshev held was Aser, Mir Rabbanon. But he held it was only at the Rabbanon. He held it's covered Abrios, the person's embarrassed. And therefore, Mishum covered Abrios, it would be Mutter.
He should be able to dye it white.
Oh, we're going to get there. Very good. Very sharp, Mickey. Hold on. Hold one second. So the Mari Ashken. Because the Gemara itself discusses, even though we have this notion, the Pesuk is very far away from Simlas Isha, don't you think? So the Gemara, even quoting other things, has a discussion. Even in the Gemara Nazir, in the Sugya, talks about certain things are only Asr Rabbanon, and certain things are Asr Amirasa. But it happens to be the Alan. It's a Chuvas Mari Ashkenazi hold. No, it is Asr Daraisa. It is Asr Daraisa, and therefore you can't use Kavar Abrios. So Mari Ashkenazi says, so dye the whole thing white. That's certainly not Derech Noshim. We know that. And therefore he holds that would be Heter. But I don't know if anyone. It's better than being like a zebra, I guess, half one or the other. But the average person is not going to want to do that either. But I think the minig is much more prevalent, like the Sholem Eshev. even though it should be noted that the Divrei Chaim, the sons of Rav, he also was Machmir. So he figured, though, it's interesting, even though Hasidim we know are pretty Machmir on the beard, but he said, you'll use one of those powders, shave the whole thing off. Now, if he was talking to a Chassid, that would really be a problem with Kavod HaBrios. He would be very embarrassed. But that's at least what he suggests halachically. And others, the Shaar Mitzvanim, but halacha quotes people, there's a whole tumult about this. Seems to be that most of the poskim are makil when the motivation is to avoid busha. And again, in context, you say, what are you talking about? You know, just to avoid busha? What do you mean? Lots of halachos, you don't just get to avoid them. The answer is no, this is not like an external factor overpowering the halacha. This is a built-in part of the definition as well. Going back to our Taz and our Bach and our Smag, this is part of the definition, as Rashi said in Chumash. As long as the motivation is otherwise, it seems to be okay. There's a tshuva that I saw quoted, same known as the Avnei Zikaron. I don't know who that is, but I saw it quoted. And he says, it's mutter to do it, but when you get older, then you have to stop. Because that's not embarrassing anymore. Now, one thing, I looked high, I looked low. He didn't say what counts as older. So that's like the old thing. You know, whoever a person is, the people older than him are old, and the people younger than him are young, right? That's human nature. So I'm not going to suggest, no one's asked me to figure out in the paskin what counts as old. But the truth is, it's an interesting point. It makes sense. It's a very interesting observation. And as we see so often, you know, things which are allowed, you know, at a certain stage, in a certain sense, being an almost, you know, a concession, but, you know, vidyevet always get turned into lachachilas over the years. So I wonder how many people really, after years of dying, you know, one day are going to come in and say, well, I hit, and you fill in the age. Now, all of a sudden, I'm going to stop. I don't know, maybe some people would, and Taka, he holds that one should.
I lose... There's definitely air in the beer, right? I mean,
no, exactly, yeah, they're talking about both.
If I was asking, like, the Bach and the Taz, that's the...
I mean, it's a little bit of a machlokes, but most are, I think.
Why is everyone being choshesh for this? Everyone's being choshesh for the Rambam?
In what regard?
In dying, why you can't dye your beard, why they're saying you shouldn't dye your beard.
Those who are machmir, you mean why those are being machmir? Because they reject it. Whether they call that the Rambam or others are being, they hold that it's not just about intention. Right? I think that's exactly the machlokes that I'm suggesting. I mean, that's how I understand the discussion.
But they're saying that's only the Rabbanim.
In that particular case, they held those are Rabbanim. In general, the question of whether intent is the regulating factor, I think the majority post continue to follow that Tazenbach, but you have in almost every one of the Nafkamina Shilas, you have some who are Machmir, and I think it gets back to that issue, that they hold that it doesn't make a difference, that the intent is to avoid Busha, or I was going to mention, I'll just say it right now, the Tshuva and Igris Moshe in Chelik Beis of Yaradeya also discusses that issue of getting a job, and he points out, this is an important halacha in terms of business ethics, he says, as long as there won't be Onah. In other words, you have to talk to be qualified. It's not mutter to trick them to get a job that you're not qualified for. And if, let's say, age and strength might be a factor, so then you can't trick them. But if you're really sure, and Ramosh seems to leave it up to the person, if you're really sure that you're totally qualified and you're just going to get discriminated against because you look older than you really are, so then Rav Moshe holds that it is mutter. And he writes that he found, I don't know what year it was dated, but that he's very happy to have the tshuva that he found that Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, the Chevron of the Sabotka, Rosh Hashiva, had apparently written a letter to a Talmud giving the same sach. Yes?
They definitively reject the ones that you know, hold up around them. They definitively reject that the intention is not an issue,
it's not a heter. No. I think they. I don't think it's that. I think it's that they. The things which are objectively toeva versus non toeva, that they take into account. But the idea that something which should be usher would be mutter because I have some other intent, that it seems to me there's a school of poskim, perhaps going back to that Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say one or the other explicitly, but because the Rambam doesn't include it, some are medayik that he rejects it. And therefore, that's the argument that those who are more machmir seem to make.
Yeah, but you see Rav Moshe's paskening only because there was a job circumstance. So you see, he's not really paskening like that.
Well, I don't think that's the way to read it. I mean,
well,
you
have to...
Why else are you doing it? No, you have to have, if you walk into Rav Moshe, I mean, for that matter, if you walked into your wife and you said, listen, I'm going to dye my hair today.
You want to look better.
You want to look younger.
No, but so looking better, looking—I don't know what better or younger means. For what? For what purpose? Some people should notice. So your patients should notice you a little bit more.
It makes you feel better.
for some people, it makes it feel better.
That I didn't see in any of the post games.
I know because of the
I don't know. I don't know if they were makshiv that. That's like a 1980s, and I mean, not 1980s. I don't want to be facetious, but I think that's probably a very recent kind of phenomenon or something. I haven't seen any of the post games discuss that. That's to be honest. I don't know what to make of it.
Discuss aftershave.
You mean cologne and stuff?
Cologne and stuff.
Yeah, that I saw post game quote that they thought some held that it would be asra chukas akum, and the famous grab chukas akum which is a different topic than simlas isha, but they're also going back to the marik on chukas akum. There's an element of pritzos there also. So if you know why do you have to smell so good? You know if cologne and stuff. You know, it's a gray area, but if the purpose is to be, you know, let's put it this way. The advertisers of the cologne think that you're doing it for pretest reasons. So you're going to tell me that you really have other intentions. Okay, so maybe taco for a person will be mutter. But it's definitely yesh makom lachosh that there is a pretest motivation in things like this. So the way I read her motion, again, it's fair we can look at it again. The way I read her motion wasn't that somehow the job was like heter parnasa the way we see that being mapped to other things. He was saying, you know, yeah, it's Gramosha, what are you curling your hair for? He would look at you, what are you, crazy? Who curls the hair? So you need a job. Okay, that's a good reason. You're not doing it for reasons. That's how I read it.
You just answered the question I was going to ask about the Tazis, about how they would deal with the Gemara and Masechta Shabbos, the Menachem Shnei Saaretz and Shchayim Shabbos, they won't say it.
Yes, we're going to have about to get to the Shear, the issue of Shear. But Malachet Saros is one of the issues. There's only so much we can discuss. But
it is discussed.
Specifically about Shear. How much? How much hair do you have to whiten or dye? How much hair do you have to pluck or shave? So this seems to be Machlokos Rishonim. The Rambam seems to say even one white hair. If you didn't have a head for it, even one is a problem. And the Ravid seems to disagree because he said if it's just one, it won't be Minkar. It's not noticeable. The Ravid end adds this quality, this factor of Minkar. So what is that Machlokos about? So I saw on a contemporary Sefer called Vidarash Vachakartha, he wanted to claim that this is the binyanav of a broader discussion about whether the focus of the Isser is the Maisa Kishut, as he calls it. Is it the Maisa doing it, or is it the Totsa'a? And he suggests that the Nafkamina might be a different tshuva for Moshe. Moshe is a different tshuva, where he discusses what about some kind of a pill. I don't know what he was talking about, but a pill that could change the hair color. Which he suggests maybe that wouldn't count as a mice kishut. I'm just taking a pill. You know, it's no different. The mice is not any different than if I took a Tylenol. And yet, there's a discussion. There was a Rav Bick. I think it might have been probably the famous Rav Bick from Brooklyn that Rav Moshe has a back and forth with. I think Rav Moshe Bick, right, was his name. In that tshuva. So the issue may have to do with Maisa versus Totsa. The Rambam may agree that in Echanami, one hair is not going to make a big difference in the terms of the result, but it's a Maisa Kishut that it's a problem. Whereas the Ravid may be focusing on the Totsa, and therefore if it's not a noticeable result, then maybe that's not... It doesn't seem that way in the Lashon, but in Echanami, I mean, you have to maybe take a look at the other Nosekel, and maybe some will argue that.
At a certain point, it's going to be different,
right? Hora.
Yeah, so
next month, next year.
Yeah.
I can tell you from personal experience, it doesn't stay at one hair. I remember that day when I saw it the first time, but it doesn't stay. I don't think it's clear, but it's an argument you could make. Let me mention now the issue of social context and culture that Rabbi Oberstein mentioned before, and then we'll specifically discuss pants, and then we'll be able to get to the dress, meaning the kilt, and then we'll finish up with the tzitzis. So in the Gemara Nazir, we mentioned one of the issues was shaving, whether it's underarm hair or pubic hair, that which is generally something that only women do, and the Gemara specifically talks about both of those examples. That's the major thread in that Gemara, are those two examples, and that's also for a man. Yet the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, right in the beginning of the Siman of Kuf Kei Beis, that if you're living in a society or a culture where that's minug for men to do it, then it's mutter. Who determines what the minug is? So the Prisha says, most people in the town. Most people aren't Jewish. Okay, but you know, we've always been immune. Not everyone wants to admit it, but we've never been immune to the outside culture. We're always living among other people, unless we're living in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore that's the culture. If that's what's done, so then that's considered okay. That's what the preacher says. Although then the preacher does quote another daya that disagrees. And recently I saw some poskim, they dug up a tshuva of the Rashba, who also seems to have two dayas on that question. Nevertheless, it seems to be that the consensus, for the most part, although again, we'll see the machlokas as well, but Rov Rishonim, or should they, Rov Poskim, seem to say that we do take culture and custom into account. And one of the big battleground areas of this is was the issue of women wearing pants. So there are some machmirim. The tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss, who lived, you know, until not that long ago, he felt very strongly that it's a violation of Chli Gever. A woman can't wear pants because it's men's begodim. Nowadays, women are wearing pants everywhere. But he quoted this day in the Rashba, this day in the Prisha, who cares? Pants, by definition, are man's clothing, and therefore it's a violation of Chli Gever. That was the shita of the Minchas Yitzchak.
Because
who claimed that?
Because that
sounds ridiculous.
That's exactly what pants were made for.
Is that true?
Because they wore men wore robes. They wore tunics. They didn't wear.
Didn't the whole culture change to get away from the robes?
No,
they wore robes.
But
I'm all. They wore more robes, even to fight. No.
Pants
okay, I'll be curious. I'm not convinced. I mean, I'm not saying no one says it.
It doesn't pass the culture test.
No, right, exactly. Yeah, it'd be hard for me to believe. But many other poskim, Tzitzel Yezra's tshuva, and I alluded to the famous tshuva, perhaps misconstrued in certain circles, but the famous tshuva of Rav Avadya Yosef, which I think is, to some extent, the last word on the topic, where he makes it very clear with Kedarko Bakodesh, with many proofs, sources, that really we do take it into account. And when you have a beged, which is by definition, when you know, if you will, the chaloshim pants, that's a word. But lamaisa, it's not just that pants are also worn by both genders. So you now, the pants that women are wearing were made for women. So it's incredibly arbitrary. My word, not his, but I think that's what he means. To decide that since there was a period in history where only women, men wore something like this, even though this beged, from the time that it was being woven, was only intended for women, to call that kli gever is very, very unlikely. And therefore, Rav Avadya says that there's no problem whatsoever mitzadat. What he also says, but people seem to have forgotten, was he says it's not the most tanua thing to wear. But, huh? Okay. Anyway, so that's the issue. That's the issue. And one of the Rav Avadya, one of his rayas, I just mentioned, he had the Gemara, which seems to be a great raya. I don't know what the Minchas Yitzchak does with this. The Gemara in on Mem Tes Amud Beis talks about Yehuda's daughter who made a cloak, which she wore to the market, and he wore to davening. I would happen to that. So Marsha already says, yeah, because it wasn't unique for either one of them. So says Rav Avadya, that's exactly the point. If you have a beged that could be either made, either it's made for both sexes, or it's dafka made for women, so how could you possibly call that chli gever? That particular part from the Marsha is reminiscent of Rav Moshe's famous kula about chukas akam, the issue I alluded to before to Joel. Right? The big issue when you look in the early Makar for chukas akam is all about fashion. So Rav Moshe has a landmark tshuva where he basically takes thousands of years, or at least hundreds of years of psak, and says it's not relevant anymore. Because how could Mehecha Tesi to call any fashion now chukas akam? The fashion is made mitchil v'ad sof with the Jews equally in mind. And I always like to add, and half the time, that's my horror, you took away my joke, thank you, Mickey, it's all made by the Jews. But trust me, mitchil v'ad sof, they have in mind our kids, and you and me. So where Moshe says, mehecha tesi, that's called chukas akum, that's chukas Yisrael, that's beged Yisrael. Is it sneezes, is it not sneezes, that's a different question. So in a similar vein, that's mamash the same concept here by this Marsha. So I would say l'cha'ora, getting back to our kilt friend, who is Chabad, for the sake of full disclosure, but who else would be in Scotland. So it seems to me that based on everything that we're saying, l'cha'ora, if you live in Scotland, it should if you live in Scotland, you have multiple haterim, because not only because you have the whole culture issue, which would be mosher there, it's pegadish. The mamish made it for they made it for the man. It's no different than the Anne Klein pants that you could buy at Macy's. It's made for, so if you accept that heter, which the Chassidim didn't, and he was in Manchester, but before he went there to Israel. But the Lamaisa, if you accept it, which we generally do, then l'chora that would be okay. Plus, I assume, unless it's also accompanied by a wig and all sorts of other accoutrements, even if it was in America, you might just look like a fool. But l'cha'ora, you're not going to fool anyone, you know, to get this. You know, there's other things to do if you're looking for preachers. They'll get you a lot more, violate the Israel a lot quicker than putting on a dress. If anything, it might make it the case more difficult for you. So I would think that l'cha'ora should be totally mutter, but not something that I would recommend as a friend. The rabbi is like, let me finish, please. Just quickly, the issue of talis and tzitzis. To ask the kasha, why is that not a problem of Bagadish? The answer is, according to some, it is. Famous targum yonasim ben aziel in our pasuk and our parsha translates the, it is the targum our pasuk, and I'll read you the lashon if I find it. Lo yihye gulyon de tzitzis utfilin tehinun tikune gever al itzasa. He mamish reads into our pasuk on the words chli gever. He says talis and tefillin. It's an amazing, amazing targum yonasim ben aziel. Rabbi Nebachi and our parsha on the pasuk, based on this, is assigning the pasuk and shoftim with Yael banging the nail, whatever it is, into the thing, the peg. How come she didn't take a knife and chop off his head? So you read the Navi, it's because that was the crime, that was the opportunity, that's what she had. If she had a knife, he probably would have seen that. But Rabbi Bachai says no, halachically, she was a London, and she held that was Beganish. So she, it's also an Arab parsha. Again, nothing to do clearly with intent. I don't know. Rabbi Bachai just mentions that. And there's also a Yalkut in that regard. Lamai said, bottom line, we know women don't wear talis and tefillin, according to the Targum, and those who might want to paskin like it, the answer is because it's Begadish. So they ask Akasha from the Gemara in Erevin, Michal Bashal was wearing talis, how come, and they says the Chachamim weren't mocha. Lo micha ben the Chachamim. So they ask Akasha on the Targum based on this Gemara.
But that's not
okay. I mean, she was wearing tefillin. It wasn't that, I think the Gemara was talking about anyway, tefillin. But the point is, the Targum puts both of them together. And nevertheless, despite the fact that it seems to be schwer, I found at least three poskim who did quote the Salacha. I think it's only three, but to be fair, there are three. The Levush quotes this. The Ben Ishchai quotes it, and it's also in the Sefer Kachat HaChaim. Nevertheless, the overwhelming majority of poskim reject it. First of all, from silence. If you take a look at most Rishonim, they tell you that Mikra Din, there's nothing wrong with women wearing a talis. The Rambam talks about women wearing a talis no different than shaking a lulav or a flowing shofar. He has nothing wrong with it. And even those poskim who nowadays seem to say, going back to the Ramah at least, which is from the Maril, the Ogre from the Maril, the women shouldn't wear talis, but they give a completely different reason, that it's an issue of Mechsek or Yura. But all of these reasons, and so to speak in Arachayim, if you will, all have nothing to do with the Targum Yonah Zeal. They're all assuming against the Targum Yonah Zeal, that there's nothing wrong with it. Furthermore, the poskim point out, and this is where we're closed, where we started, that this, all of the Makoros in Yoredeia, based on the Bach and the Taz, are against this. Again, it's hard, unless it's far-fetched, you imagine that because she's wearing the talus, that's going to somehow, you know, enable breaches. But it's not likely. It's not likely. And the Targum of New Zealand, so most posts can reject the Targum of New Zealand. First of all, they point out that all the Makoros and the Chutzitza seem to be against it. Second of all, it goes against the Makoros in Yoredeia about Hilchos Begadish, which seem to be focusing on intents for preachers, which here you don't have. And that's the two reasons that most posts can reject this Targum of New Zealand. It is worth noting that the Malbim, you know, he knew Tanakh, so he could shtel too. Malbim has a Sefer Halacha called Artsos HaChaim. And he wants to defend, I don't know if he agrees with him, but he defends the Targum, and he also quotes, interestingly enough, the Pasuk in Shoftim about Yael. So he says, look, you see there was no preacher's intent, and yet she went out of her way to use the peg and not use a sword. Elamai, so what do you see if the Malbim tries with? It's Taka, the same Lumbus, it's the same Achlokus we started with. If you assume the issue was of intent, so then, obviously, even if you hold this Osir, but it's not going to be because of the Chligever, you'll have to find some other reason, like Yura, to say we mentioned Mortalis. But l'chora, those who follow the Targum Yonah Zeal in Israel, it's because Meirosh, and we understand where he's coming from. We have the Rambam and others to say it also, although interestingly, the Rambam doesn't say it about talis and tzitzis and tefillin. But nevertheless, the lomdus of Kli Geber, that has nothing to do with intent, maybe if it's known as a kishut, either for dafka, is dafka known as a man, a masculine, or dafka known as a feminine clothing, then it may be usher. So this basic issue of whether, to what extent the intent of preachers is really a defining factor factor or not, it really runs through almost all of the shilas that we discussed, including the issue of assistance. Again, and I would say, just like I mentioned about the kilt, if you had a woman who was really looking to attract men, my own assumption is that wearing a talus would not be what I would recommend her to wear. So it's really not an issue of priestess. Yeah, that, I'm saying, and I don't mean strict halacha. I'm saying, even if I was giving her priestess advice, that would not be how I would dress her. Not for, yeah, but not, yeah, but to get beat up, to get beat up, right. That's, anyway. All right, a good Shabbos to everyone. And remember, while you're in Baltimore, wear a talus and don't wear a kilt.